Mark, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to do it.
So to start off, let's go through the process if we can. Say I'm an asymptomatic person. I go and get a test just to see, and I have a positive result. What's the next step for me?
Well, what happens, you know, once you have a positive result is your physician or the lab or the hospital that, you know, has the test result or makes the diagnosis will inform the local health department. And once that happens, the local health department, what's known as a disease investigator, will call you basically to talk to you about what you can do to take care of yourself, what you ought to do to protect your family, those kinds of things. And then we'll also ask you about folks you've come into contact with recently and try to get all that documented so that they can give those folks a heads up that they may have been exposed to COVID and help them protect themselves.
It's sometimes hard for some of us to remember, you know, what we had for lunch yesterday. And as we're going through the contact tracing, would it be prudent for us as individuals to kind of make notes about where we went each day and who we saw and what our movements were?
The way I tend to think about this situation is that if I received that kind of diagnosis, or if I received a call that I might have been exposed and was at risk of contracting COVID, my first thought would be that I would want to protect, you know, the people I love, my family, my friends, and I'd want to be a responsible citizen. So, yeah, I think I would want to, you know, maybe keep a daily calendar or something that would help me if that kind of situation arose, because, you know, I just wouldn't want anybody else to get sick.
How many levels deep does the tracing go? If you get a phone call and they say you may have been in contact with somebody who's tested positive, are you then asked to quarantine? And then do you have to contact people outside of your circle?
Well, it a lot depends on the extent of the contact. You know, for example, if I was in a brief 5-minute meeting with someone and we were both wearing masks and we, you know, stayed at least 6 feet apart and that sort of thing, and that was the nature of the contact, then that would be assessed as low risk. And the disease investigator and the contact tracer would advise that person that that's probably low risk and that what you need to do is just monitor your health. And they would review some of the symptoms of COVID with the person. And, you know, that would be it. If they get sick, then they would, or if they started having symptoms, then they would be in a better position to recognize, you know, that perhaps they were getting sick and that they would call their doctor and, you know, take care of their health. So in that situation with a, you know, sort of a low risk contact, it would be fairly straightforward and not real, you know, the requirements not real heavy. You know, if you were in the car with a friend and you rode from Paducah to Lexington, you know, which is a 2.5-3 hour drive, and the person was, you know, that was the contact, that would be assessed at higher risk. And let's say you weren't wearing masks, that would be assessed at a very high risk. And in that case, the guidance given to that contact would be to, you know, isolate for 14 days from the day of the exposure and so forth. And again, the, you know, the reason for that isolation is to protect their friends and family.
If you're just tuning in, we're joined by phone with Mark Carter, who is leading Kentucky's contact tracing efforts for COVID-19 and the coronavirus. As far as how much information people might get about their exposure, their potential exposure, patient names aren't revealed, but do we get locations and dates and that kind of thing?
Well, the effort, every effort's made to protect the identity of the patient. And so, you know, the minimal information that can be provided and yet still be meaningful would be given to the contact. So it might be the date of the, you know, it might be something like the date of the contact, or at that level, but it won't get as so specific that it would easily identify the patient.
And if someone, their exposure has been high enough, they're asked to self-isolate, is that where the role of a social support connector comes in?
Right. The social support connectors or coordinators are essentially, that's the role that they would play. If the person is, needs to self-isolate, can't go to work, might have some, some needs, daily needs that they may have trouble with anyway, such as acquiring food or, those kinds of things, then the social support coordinators would step in to assist with that, to connect that person to the appropriate resource.
And lastly, I want to ask about stores. If somebody tested positive and they spent an hour in a Kroger or a Walmart and they were doing all of their shopping for the next 3 weeks, and how do you contact trace in such a large space where you don't know people's names or who was there?
Yeah, in that case, the store would be notified that they had a person that had visited the store and was had the virus while they were in the store. But it's really, it's very difficult in those kind of settings. There's really no way to talk to everybody that might have been in the store. You just don't know who was there. And, we're working with employers, not just grocery stores, but any retail establishment on, just how they can disseminate that information to their customers. And, but that's a hard one. And we're still working through the details of how that'll play out.
What are some of the ways that you're discussing or thinking about doing? I'm thinking social media, or maybe they just post a sign. If you were here last week, such and such date, is it that kind of outreach?
All of the above. We're using the state's KY COVID website, posting signs, social media. All of those kinds of things are under discussion. And, frankly, we're trying to use all the available media right now to get the word out so that folks understand just what contact tracing is and what it isn't. The biggest concern being in the area of privacy and security of folks' information. It's really important that, or it'll be very important that people answer the call from the health department when it shows up on their phone. And, we want to alleviate any concerns that anyone has that there might be some reason not to answer that phone.
Mark Carter is leading Kentucky's contact tracing efforts during the coronavirus pandemic. Mark, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.